This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 4th, 2026. Seek First, given by Stephanie Griffin.
Happy New Year. Here we are, 2026 in Middletown, Delaware. Look around the room. We come from all different backgrounds and perspectives and walks of life. And each one of you here and online has a story within his story, history, of how you came here today. And here we all are on the first Sunday of the new year in church. Good for you. You just showed up. We're happy that you've joined us. And wherever you are in your God journey, we trust that he is going to meet with us and speak something of great value to our hearts. I'm Stephanie Griffin, a disciple member here at the Family of Connection Community Church, along with my husband, Gary. And it is my honor to share in God's word with you today, while our pastor David and his Emily and their family are on some well-deserved respite. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We don't want to move into 2026 without you. Help us stay close to Jesus. Cause us to hear your loving kindness. Cause us to know the way in which we should walk. For we lift up our souls to you. In the holy and matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. This past season, this past Christmas during Advent, Pastor David and Emily helped us to imagine. We prepared for and celebrated Jesus' earthly arrival, as we continue to prepare our hearts for his second coming arrival. We were challenged to use this time as a reset. Now, Gary and I watched some Hallmark movies this season. Anybody out there watch Hallmark? Okay, I'm not alone. Well, we actually saw some that were mysteries, and the main characters were following clues that had been left behind by some mastermind. Well, as the whole Advent story was unfolding this season, I couldn't help but think how it seemed as if God had hidden clues about himself along the way, and Jesus and the nature of his kingdom. I thought, could he be giving us clues to reveal insights about his heart? It makes sense. Jesus spoke in parables, and he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." For example, did he choose the obscurity of the hidden life of a young virgin because the good things of God can often be found hidden and tucked away in simplicity and purity? Perhaps he appeared to shepherds because he would eventually reveal himself as the great shepherd. And could it be that he came to us as a child in a manger so that we would eventually come to him in childlike faith? When I think of God leaving us these clues along the way, it reminds me of Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. God hides things, and humankind searches. Down through the ages, we have been uncovering what God has for us to find. On Christmas Eve, Pastor David acknowledged that many are searching. Our pastor encouraged us, look no further than Jesus. God is here. Emmanuel, God with us. He found us, we've found him, and now Are we ready to follow him? For there is a seeking that still remains, even after finding him. That is our journey with God and going after the things of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 84, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength until each one appears before God in Zion." We are on a pilgrimage, a journey with God as we become disciples, learners, followers of the way. This is the seeking that we now speak about in today's focus and emphasis: seek first. As Christ followers, there are many things around us pulling us into all different directions. This time of year, how many have considered New Year's resolutions or 2026 goals? Anybody out there? Okay, a couple hands. All right, we must not be an average polling here, because ChatGPT says that up to 42% of people make new resolutions, with common things to exercise more, eat healthier, improve relationships and finances, focus on mental health and well-being. These things sound pretty good. These are good things. But as we look to our scripture today, Jesus speaks to us what he says we should be seeking. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6:33. Now, this is a verse you may have heard before, but what does it mean? As I look at this scripture, and I'm going to look up here as like a big blackboard. As I look up here, I see the word "but." All right, well, that tells me something else has come before this, right? And then all these things. Well, we don't know what things he's talking about. So, best practice is to always look at scripture from the Bible in its original context. We want to know who is speaking, to whom, when, and why. We understand that this portion of scripture right here comes from Matthew's gospel, the book of Matthew in the Bible. Matthew was one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus, and Matthew recorded many teachings of Jesus. This particular teaching of Jesus is a verse in chapter 6, which is a part of a larger teaching of Jesus to his disciples and others that were listening in, from Matthew's chapter 5 through 7, which has become known to us as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, some theologians call this teaching of Jesus a manifesto of Christian living, which Jesus himself models. Jesus shows us the way for right relationship with God the Father and the right relationship with others. The Sermon on the Mount begins with Jesus teaching about the kind of people who are going to see and experience the kingdom. And then he talks about what his disciples look like in the world, how they relate to one another. He goes on to teach on prayer and fasting, including what we know as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. And then we arrive at the last third of chapter 6, where he addresses anxiety. He addresses, "Do not be anxious for your life." He uses the examples of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and how God provides for them. And will he not also value you and me more than these? Let's pick it up here now at verse 31 with Jesus is saying, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus addresses the human condition to worry. Many people in this time period when Jesus walked the earth were poor and they were dependent on the harvest. He contrasts the pagans, unbelievers, who are anxiously running around after these things, food and drink and clothing, with those believers who trust in their Heavenly Father, trust that their Heavenly Father sees them and knows their needs. Jesus teaches that those in his kingdom, they're going to prioritize something else. And he encourages his listeners in a different way, not to run after the things like the pagans do, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness. And all of these things, in the immediate context, food, drink, clothing, will be given to you as well. Perhaps in the overall broader context of the Sermon on the Mount, he could also be implying intangible things, things like mercy and forgiveness or lasting rewards in heaven. All right, so let's take a look. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's see if we can get a basic overview of the main words here. First is seek. The word here in this sense is one that indicates to seek in order to find something, to seek in order to discover by thinking, meditating, reasoning, inquiring, to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, to strive after, to earnestly desire. This is not a passive word, but a word that indicates that we are to intentionally pursue and go after something. How about the word first? Here, first means above all, foremost in time, place, order, or importance, before, beginning, and best. So when Jesus says, seek first, he's getting ready to tell us what is the chief thing, the best thing, the foremost matter of importance that we are to strive after and earnestly desire and intentionally pursue. His kingdom and his righteousness. All right, how about those two words? The word for kingdom here comes from the Greek word, the root basileia, which means God's rule and God's reign. Now, this understanding becomes a paradigm shift for us who may not readily equate kingdom with God's rule and reign. We may be thinking of kingdom as either a physical realm or a group of people. But in essence, those concepts are secondary to the idea of this Greek word basileia, God's kingdom being his rule and his reign in power. So let's take a look of this basileia form in scripture from the Gospel of Luke. Here's an example. When the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would bear a son, he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom, his basileia, will never end. His rule and reign will never end. Here's another example, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, your kingdom, your basileia, come, he's not telling the disciples to pray for a heavenly realm to descend, but rather for God's rule and reign of God to come. And in our focus scripture, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, the root basileia is not looking for a heavenly realm or even for the church, but it's looking for his kingly rule and reign in our hearts and our lives. We are to seek his kingdom, seek his rule and reign in our lives, and his righteousness. All right, so righteousness. How can I best explain righteousness? The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. Psalm 145, 17. Righteousness is a part of God's character and nature. Seeking his righteousness is seeking his way of doing and being right. Jesus' teachings and life demonstrates what kingdom righteousness looks like. Righteousness is our right standing with God and our right living as a result of our life in God. Vine's Expository Dictionary describes the word righteousness here in Matthew 6:33 as the sum total of the requirements of God. Well, Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of God when he obediently completed the mission set forth by the Father with his death and resurrection. Ultimately, our right standing with God is based on our receiving of his righteousness. In his letter to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul in the Bible book Romans teaches that the righteousness of God has been made known. And this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's the beauty of the gospel right there. As sinners, we were separated from God and from his glory, but now we have been reconciled back to a right standing with God by grace through faith, the righteousness that comes from God on basis of the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a lot to digest. And for some of you, a great place to learn more about God's righteousness and unpack foundations of our faith is the class that Pastor David's getting ready to teach in a few weeks, the Back to Basics class. For others of you that might want a deeper dive about God's righteousness, you may want to explore a Bible study on the book of Romans or the book of Hebrews. Those are going to have some great, great insights on righteousness. All right, back to our scripture and my little chalkboard here. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So now with a basic understanding of the words of this instruction, how do we do it? How do we, first and foremost, intentionally pursue his rule and reign and righteousness in our lives? Well, seeking the kingdom is seeking the king. We seek the king. David was described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. He writes in Psalm 27, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." What can seeking the king look like for you and for me? Well, today I'm going to quickly give you five B's. And You'll see these are five practical ways to seek the King in 2026. These five B's, as they appear up here, there's going to be a lot of scripture references that go with that. We aren't going to unpack all those scriptures today, but please feel free to take a screenshot or get the notes afterward from the website and go through in your own time and study what these scriptures are that come from or that support these five B's. Here we go. First one is simply, be with him. Be with him. There are so many ways to be with your Lord and abide in his presence. But be with him. Talk to him about everything. Being with him includes prayer, reading and studying the Bible, his word, silence and solitude, Sabbath, service to others. So many ways. And we can genuinely engage and connect with him and his presence in every aspect of daily life. So in the changing of a diaper, in doing a homework assignment, driving to work, doing dishes, taking care of an elderly parent, have an awareness of him in all you do. Be with him. Second one, behold him. Behold the risen Christ. Worship him. Minister to him. Seek his face. Watch him. Follow him. Now, this one may seem a little more vague and perhaps even elusive, but it begins to make more sense as we grow in Christ. In fact, Pastor David is getting ready to teach us a series in the upcoming weeks on the heart of worship. That's going to help us understand more what this beholding him is all about. I look forward to that. I hope you do too. Next, be believe him. Sounds simple, but you know this Bible here? Believe what it says. Believe he is good, that he is always good, and that you can trust him. Believe his word, believe his promises. Believe what he says about himself and who he is. Believe what he says about you and who you are. And this word, let this word of God inform your perspective and be your truth. And not your circumstances, and not what culture seems to be doing. Let this be what you believe. Next one, belong to him. Belong to him. We belong. Isn't that good news? We belong. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Do you completely belong to him? Settle this one in your heart. Does he have your unconditional yes? Pastor David spoke to us during Advent about how God's love language is obedience. Does he have your whole heart? Or is there an area that you've fenced off? Not giving him access to. We want to belong to him fully. And finally, the last one, become like him. This one actually is a result of the first four, and truly it's a work of the Holy Spirit. But we yield and we allow him to transform us. We become what we behold, what we believe, who we belong to, and who we spend time with. When we become like him, we become love. Let me say that again. When we become like him, we become love. This is transformational discipleship and how the world will know that we are his disciples. Becoming like him, becoming love, is also how a hurting world will know that there is a God who loves them and wants to know them. Five B's, five ways to think about going after God and seeking the King in 2026. Be with him, behold him, believe him, belong to him, become like him. These are the ways we can go after God and seek the King. Speaking of seeking the King, you might know that this week on the Christian liturgical calendar is Epiphany. Now, the liturgical calendar, if you don't know, is a formal church calendar that some denominations follow traditionally. More so the Orthodox, Episcopalians, Catholics, some Lutherans, even some Methodists. They will follow the traditional calendar. And this week, starting January 6th, Epiphany is considered the feast day commemorating the manifestation of Christ to the world. Now, while there are differences in Eastern versus Western Christianity traditions in its celebration, both include the visit of the Magi from the East, who studied the stars and sought out the newborn king. They studied the stars, and they went out to find the King of the Jews to worship him. These wise men followed the light of a special star until they came into the presence of Jesus, and they bowed down with their gifts, and they worshiped him. Well, today, wise men still worship him. Seeking the kingdom is to seek the King. You know, in 2026, wise men and women of God are prioritizing the presence of God. Right now, around the world, and especially in the younger generation, kids, teens, we are seeing wildfires and pockets of revival for those who are hungering and thirsting for his presence and his return. Followers of Jesus are spending quality time in devotional pursuit of him. And get this, they are coming to church first and foremost to minister to him and then to his people. People are not just singing songs about Jesus, they're joining with the heavenly host and beholding the exalted Jesus around his throne. All over the world, Christ followers are meeting with Jesus in the revelation of his word with a passion to want to hear his voice. Followers of Jesus, desiring to spend time with him, finding out what he likes, what pleases him, finding out what makes him sad, what grieves him. Oh, he has so much that he wants to share with us as sons and daughters. All right, well, let's put our scripture all together here now, from the beginning to the end. So, above all else, first and foremost, we earnestly desire, strive after, intentionally pursue God's rule and reign in our lives and the right standing and the right living that results from being with the King of the Kingdom. He is our priority focus. And as we seek him in trusting obedience, everything else will fall into its rightful place. Amen. Did you know that he never intended for you to look elsewhere to get your needs met? The pagans, those without God, they're running after this and that, but not us. We have all we need because we have him. If we only understood the more that's in store for us. I'm going to close with a short story. You know, as we spend time with the Lord, He can speak to us in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's in prayer. Sometimes it's through the Word. Sometimes it's through other people. It could be a still small voice. It could be a quiet impression of the heart where there's no words. But you know, sometimes it could be a picture, an image. And one day He showed me a picture, a scene, where I was in the entrance hallway of a great big house. There was a banquet-like event going on, and a server with a small tray approached me and offered me an hors d'oeuvre. It was a fancy pig in a blanket. I took it, and I ate it, and it was delicious. I could see out of the corner of my eye other food laid out on a buffet against the wall in another room. But the pig in the blanket just looked so good that I followed after the server and picked up another. And I recall standing there, my heart feeling warm and grateful that I was content in the hallway, sensing the Lord and eating my pig in a blanket. Then suddenly, in the image, my angle of perspective turned to like that of a flying drone, and I was shown the adjacent room full of beautiful food and drink display, and then my view glided past another doorway full of culinary presentations, and another room, until finally at the back of the house, it seemed to open up and expand like a scene from the movie National Treasure. The ceiling disappeared, and the light now revealed flowing fountains and food mountains piled up high, deliciously high, as far as the eye could see. An endless smorgasbord. I knew in my heart that this represented the endless good things available in God: righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And I had been satisfied to remain in the hallway with a pig in the blanket. He is inviting us to feast with Him in His unlimited provisions of His presence. It is overwhelming. May we be overwhelmed with His vastness, His greatness, His glory, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His kindness. If we did not allow Jesus to overwhelm us this Christmas, it is not too late. We have 2026 in front of us, and Jesus is giving us an open invitation to His presence. What does it look like for you to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in 2026? What does it look like for you to follow Him in 2026? Take some time here at the end of the service and moving forward this year to seek Him and ask Him for direction. Steps are open for prayer. We're all a part of the story that He is writing. God hides and humankind searches. All wisdom and kingly pursuit and starlight-led journeys converge and culminate in one place, bowing down in reverence to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Let us pray. Oh God, we don't just want to do Christian stuff. We want to meet with You. We want to hold space with You and listen for Your voice. Help us to make room for You. Speak to our hearts as we lay down all else that would get in the way. Lord, would You highlight something for each person sitting in this room, each person listening online? Highlight something for us, for our own next steps, that we would walk in step with you. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.